top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the prime evening news for today, Tuesday, April 9th, in the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre reiterates some effective recommendations for electoral and campaign finance reforms for Dominica, which differ from those of jurist Sir Dennis Byron.
Local, regional, and global. Only on
Commonwealth Secretary General Patricia Scotland supports President Dr. Mohamed Irfan Ali's stance following President Nicolas Maduro's enactment of the original law for the defense of Essequibo. And the special counsel prosecuting federal charges against Donald Trump urged the justices to reject Trump's claim of immunity, emphasizing the principle that nobody is above the law.
Local
details coming up next.
Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Dominican Justice Dr. Irvin Andre called on Dominicans to review the electoral reform recommendations of Sir Dennis Byron, which Dr. Andre says it could promote a weak regulatory framework for the electoral system, which concerned the Caribbean Court of Justice in 2022. Sir Dennis Byron was selected by Prime Minister Skirt to serve as a sole commissioner to advance efforts towards electoral reform in Dominica on September 1st, 2020. Speaking during a virtual consultation organized by the Dominica Business Forum on June 17th, 2021, Sir Byron stated, and I quote, "My mandate became necessary because the electoral process had become so contentious that the much-needed reforms could not find consensus," close quote, he said. I quote, "The regulatory framework for the electoral process is old and needs modernization."
The Byron recommendations amount to nothing more than a recipe to continue holding elections in the very same way that concerned the CCJ in July 2022, despite the pious invocation of God by Dominica's leadership. It normalizes corruption in the holding of elections in Dominica and effectively ensures the catastrophic implosion of Dominica's democracy. For these reasons, patriotic Dominicans, irrespective of their political affiliation, should reject Byron's prescription for a dictatorship and perpetual rule of the current administration. Rather, in accordance with the best practices in the Caribbean concerning free and fair elections, the recommendations of international organizations such as the United Nations and the Organization of American States, and the warning issued by the CCJ, we recommend the following elements of free and fair elections that are required to preserve Dominica's democracy. 1. Fixed dates for general elections enshrined in the Constitution. 2. The Constitution should provide for a system of elections based on the first-past-the-post system as we currently have, to one which incorporates a limited form of proportional representation along the lines set out in the February 1999 Constitution Review Commission report of the late Justice Telford Georges.
Justice Andre referenced the modernized recommendations for electoral reform in Dominica made public by the Commonwealth Secretariat and the Organization of American States over the years.
3, a prime minister should serve only 2 consecutive terms of office. 4, there should be a new process of re-registration of voters. 5, only those persons who are ordinarily resident in Dominica for a fixed period before an election should be eligible to vote in elections in Dominica. 6, there should be a specific national voter ID card to all eligible voters in Dominica with biometric data, including fingerprinting. There should be no overseas registration of voters. There should be a fixed timetable for the cleansing of the voters list. 9, all political parties should have equal access to both state and privately owned media in Dominica during an election period. 10, there should be fixed limits on campaign financing expenditure, both before and during any reporting period stipulated in the applicable legislation. 11, foreign persons, companies, or governments should be expressly prohibited from contributing either directly or indirectly to any candidate or party during a general election. 12, there should be fixed limits on the amount of money that a Dominican or local company can contribute to the election campaign of any candidate or political party.
Among his recommendations, Dr. Andre calls for the appointment of a special prosecutor rather than the director of public prosecution to prosecute persons who violate Dominica's electoral laws, adding that as it relates to electoral matters, the DPP's privilege to nolly prost any prosecution should be eliminated. He says these reforms will undoubtedly even the electoral system and prevent all charges for corruption to occur by officials from any political party, present and in the future. This in turn ensures that the masses maintain complete control of their government.
13, the definition of bribery in the applicable legislation should specifically include the paying for the air or sea travel for persons for the express or implied purpose of having that person or persons vote for a candidate or political party during an election. 14, the appointment of a special prosecutor rather than the director of public prosecutions to prosecute persons who violate Dominica's electoral laws. In the case of election petitions, the DPP's discretion to nolly prost any prosecution should be eliminated. 15. Any breach of the electoral laws is punishable not only by a fine or imprisonment, but also by disqualifying any candidate found guilty of violating Dominica's electoral laws. 16. The financing of the Electoral Commission by a duly constituted independent body rather than by the Minister of Finance or by Parliament. The Constitution should specifically provide for this, along with the fixing of a minimum sum of money to be provided to the Commission for the execution of its duties. 17. Persons in a clear conflict of interest arising, for example, from the sale of passports or providing professional services to the government for consideration other than their work as a member of the commission should be automatically disqualified from serving as a member of the commission. And last but not least, the Electoral Commission should be expanded to 9 members with civil organizations. It should be including civil organizations such as the religious sector, the business sector, trade union sector, and the local bar, nominating a member on the commission with such person or persons being appointed by the president to sit on the said commission. So these in summary are the proposed reforms.
And that was Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program is urging the media in Dominica to thoroughly assess the country's situation and formulate pertinent questions for the Prime Minister. This, he asserts, is crucial to providing the public with accurate information about the country's business. Pastor Rodney highlighted the media's failure to ask the Prime Minister the necessary questions during last week's press conference, which he believes deprived the citizens of essential information regarding the nation's challenges.
Some of you journalists, listen to me well. I don't know why you all call yourself journalists. You almost take a leave. Take a leave. Go and listen to real journalists, okay? Go listen to the people at CNN and CBS and listen to how they put questions to people, okay? Go listen to that. Otherwise, pack the job. I know you all want the salary, but pack the job. Because if you cannot be an individual that will cause the people responsible to give us the information that they should give us, then you ain't doing a good job. And I don't care who you are, I don't care what degree you have. So, for example, you ask the Prime Minister a question about all the people who have been acting. The Prime Minister himself tells you that he knows that for 20 years now, that's something that the system is plagued with for 20 years now. Now, I always say to you all that that's why I don't listen to him, because he don't know what he's saying. And that's why I ask him to advise him. And himself don't want advice, but advise him. Those of you who are his friends and all, you're sucking all his blood, advise him. Y'all don't like the man. Advise him. Okay? He himself said that he is aware that the system has not been appointing people for 20 years and some people are in this languishing system. But now he's going to do something about it. But you mean you all don't have brains to even ask, but Mr. Prime Minister, you have been there for 21 years. How you mean that you know that and you have done nothing about it? Pam him, sir. You asked the man about about salaries and some of you civil servants, you all are complicit in that, you know, what all you get take. It's public information that the Prime Minister gave into a 50% increase.
Pastor Rodney identified several areas that warrant questions, including a recent statement from the IMF recommending action on the public sector wage bill. He emphasized that these are critical inquiries that should be raised.
His ministers got 28% increase. Up now, they can't come out and deny it because they know it's true. But he cannot take care of the civil service. It is public information. You all read that the IMF is saying that somehow something needs to be done with the public sector wage bill. I mean, that's information someone ever come and tell you to ask. Huh? I mean, and you call yourself a what? A news person, a journalist? Pack the job, man. Because you all are causing the PM, the Prime Minister, to keep talking sort to people. And intelligent people don't want to listen to foolishness because it's foolishness. So you're expanding a public sector wage bill. You expanding it. You and your ministers, by my calculation, is taking about 11.75% of the public sector wage bill per year. Increase, eh? Increase. But you are told to reduce the wage bill. But you are taking the money. You increase your salary. I don't understand how you want. So tomorrow morning, you're going to ask all of us to pay to decrease the wage bill, but you take 50% for yourself. You take 50% for yourself. You give your minister 28%. The IMF asks you to reduce the wage bill. And some of them will clap for you when you say to them 001, because they have made you the god that Haitians made Papa Doc and Baby Doc and all of those that was put on your backs.
Pastor Randy Rodney, host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program. It's time that we really use the power of women to become a smart energy customer, emphasized Winnie Rikisani, Principal Global South at the Rocky Mountain Institute. Rikisani Gayu was speaking at the Women Leadership in Coal Transitions in a first of series consultations that will be held to deliberate on how women can be involved in the design and implementation process of energy transition policies and projects, with a focus on leadership and equitable access to decision-making at all levels. I quote, there is a lag between labor demand and labor supply when it comes to women as the workforce in, not only as phasing out coal, but also phasing in renewable energy, close quote. While addressing the private sector, multilateral development banks and other organizations that will play a crucial role in bringing a systematic change pertaining to active participation of women in energy transition. At the event, which was organized on the sidelines of the United Nations Commission of the Status of Women, Francois Philippe Dobby, Deputy Director of the Climate Finance Program, Global Affairs Canada, emphasized how moving away from fossil fuels, especially coal, will have profound implications on societies. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95de.com. As the hurricane season draws nearer, residents of Collihue can begin breathing a sigh of relief as work will soon recommence on the completion of the Collihue River Defense Wall. Parliamentary representative for the Collihue constituency, Darren Pinard, says this project signals a major effort from the government to ensure the public safety.
Since approximately Erica time, whenever we have some serious rains and so on, the river will take over the entire flat of Collihue on occasions such as during Maria. And so we started the construction of a wall to give some protection from that flooding. And that has served us very well. It has actually stopped a lot of the major exposure that we've been having. But it is not yet complete. So, for example, up to the last set of flooding we had a couple months ago, we still had some flooding, not as severe as it was before, but it highlighted the need for us to continue with the construction of the wall. We have some breaches up above the Gomango area. We have quite a few areas that were highlighted by the last flood. that showed the need for us to continue the work that was started. And so during the flooding, I was out there with my video camera, taking out video and sending to the PM. We were in constant communication at the time. And the following day, we went and we looked at the damage that was caused. And then we decided at that time that it was really essential that we continue the work. And so I'm very, very happy and want to thank the PM for his swift response and his support.
And that was a parliamentary representative for the Colley Hill constituency, Darren Pinard. Dominica and Grenada claim to have strengthened their capabilities to oversee and safeguard trade, thanks to workshops organized by the CARICOM Secretariat. These sessions, held recently, aimed to ensure compliance with multilateral environmental agreements, particularly focusing on implementing the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Floras, also known as CITES, to which all CARICOM member states are signatories. Stakeholders from various sectors, including customs, trade, national security, forestry, fisheries, legal affairs, ports management, private sector, indigenous communities, foreign affairs, and public utilities, participated in the workshops. Tasia John Baptist, Shawnee Samuels, Thomas DeLuli, and Haruko Ososo from the CARICOM Secretariat and CITES Secretariat facilitated the discussions. The workshops aim not only to enhance capacity and awareness, but also foster the exchange of experiences among participating countries. Representatives from Antigua and Barbuda and St. Kitts and Nevis shared their insights on developing national legislation for CITES implementation. Moreover, an open forum was established to address challenges, share best practices, and ensure understanding of incorporating CITES into national legal frameworks. Education Minister Octavia Alfred announced on state-owned radio that schools across the island can expect a dynamic term ahead. She emphasized that the ministry is collaborating with numerous schools to continue its various initiatives aimed at engaging students. These initiatives include the National Math Power Contest and the observance of International Spanish Day and Girls in ICT Day. These efforts are ongoing admiss preparations for the Grade 6 National Assessment scheduled for this year.
In addition to the assessment, we will also see the closing of the Maths Power Contest. We will observe International Spanish Day, International Girls in ICT Day. We will have our Science Fair. World's Book Day will be observed. The Secondary School Debate Competition will also move into its final round. District 4-H Festivals will be held. In addition to that, the 4-H will also have a public speaking and a dinner plate competition this term. We see the beginning of the CSEC exams. For the foreign languages, CSEC will continue all the way up to May. We will also do our Grade 6 national assessment this term. And for the very first time, which is significant, for the very first time, the Grade 2 and Grade 4 national assessments, which were previously administered in October, will be administered in May. This will give the Ministry of Education time to correct the assessments and to prepare remedial program to address specific needs of groups of students so that they can begin this program as soon as the new school year begins. So after marking the assessment, what we will do, we will target common problems among all our schools in Dominica, common weaknesses, and then we will prepare remedial programs to address these weaknesses. So this will give us enough time to train our teachers and to ensure they have the materials so that as soon as students enter grade 3 and grade 5, those who need this attention, they can be given this attention as they begin the new school year.
Alfred also noted that the consolidation would occur among the primary schools selected for reconstruction under the school's construction project. She explained that although they would share the same facility, they would operate as separate entities.
We will also have Library Week. We will celebrate World Environment Day, World Safety Day. There will also be CCX, CXC, CCSLC, DSTM. And DSTM, we will celebrate the achievements of our special needs students. There are some slight changes this year, this term for school operation. The Sineku Primary School will operate in the same space with the Salibia Primary School. However, it's a different kind of merger than what we saw with Dalis and Laplin. Both schools will be in the same space, but they will operate independently. A similar arrangement is also in place for Bellevue Primary School with the Grand Bay Primary School. The schools will be together, but they will be operating as two independent schools. This is to ensure that the work begins at the Sineku Primary School and the Bellevue Primary School, because these two schools are part of the school building project sponsored by the People's Republic of China. So we look forward to a very busy term. In addition to having schools being built, we still have sporting activities, and a lot of work will be going on between April and May, part of June, because June is graduation time from preschool all the way up to college.
And that was Minister for Education Octavia Alfred. In other news, Commonwealth Secretary General Patricia Scotland has voiced support for the stance taken by President Dr. Mohamed Irfan Ali after President Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela promulgated the organic law for the defense of Essequibo earlier this week. In a statement on Saturday, Scotland said she received a letter from Ali, who expressed concerns that Venezuela's next move would be to implement its plan for the seizure of Guyana's sovereign territory. According to Scotland, by this new law, Venezuela purports to exercise control over two-thirds of the sovereign territory of Guyana. This legislation appears to create a new state in Venezuela. The head of state of Venezuela will have the power to elect a governor, and the National Assembly of Venezuela will have legislative functions in this territory. Also, all political maps of Venezuela will now include the state of Guyana, Essequibo. The International Court of Justice, ICJ, on December 1st, 2023, unanimously indicated its order on provisional measures on the dispute between Guyana and Venezuela. It states pending the court's final decision in the case. And the special counsel, who is pursuing federal criminal charges against Donald Trump for his actions aimed at overturning the outcome of the 2020 election, submitted a brief to the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday. The brief urges the justices to deny Trump's request for immunity from prosecution, emphasizing the fundamental principle that no person is above the law. The case is scheduled to be argued between the justices, or that's before the justices, on April 25th this year.
No person is above the law, not even a U.S. president. That's what Special Counsel Jack Smith is arguing in a brief to the U.S. Supreme Court, urging the justices to reject Donald Trump's bid for immunity from prosecution on charges of plotting to overturn his 2020 election loss.
And they're not taking this White House. We're going to fight like hell.
Smith filed the brief Monday before the justices hear oral arguments on April 25th over Trump's presidential immunity claims. In his brief, Smith said, quote, "The effective functioning of the presidency does not require that a former president be immune from accountability for these alleged violations of federal criminal law. To the contrary, a bedrock principle of our constitutional order is that no person is above the law, including the president." Smith is bringing four federal criminal counts against Trump in the election subversion case. Those include conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to obstruct, as well as obstructing the congressional certification of Joe Biden's electoral victory, and conspiring against the right of Americans to vote.
You don't concede when there's theft involved.
Trump has pleaded not guilty in this case and three other criminal cases he faces, seeking to paint them as politically motivated. He's the first former president to be criminally prosecuted, and he's argued for the importance of presidential immunity, saying, quote, "The threat of future prosecution and imprisonment would become a political cudgel to influence the most sensitive and controversial presidential decisions." But Smith's view was backed on Monday by a group of 19 retired four-star U.S. military officers and other former high-ranking national security officials. They filed a supporting brief calling Trump's immunity claim contrary to the foundational principles of our democracy. They also warned that if his theory is not rejected, quote, we risk jeopardizing America's standing as a guardian of democracy in the world and further feeding the spread of authoritarianism, thereby threatening the national security of the United States and democracies around the world.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre reiterates some effective recommendations for electoral and campaign finance reforms for Dominica, which differ from those of jurist Sir Dennis Byron. Commonwealth Secretary General Patricia Scotland supports President Dr. Mohamed Ofunali's stance following President Nicolas Maduro's enactment of the Organic Law for the Defense of Essequibo. And the special counsel prosecuting federal charges against Donald Trump urged the justices to reject Trump's claim of immunity, emphasizing the principle that nobody is above the law.
Only on Q.
I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news, as it happens.